Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Ellen Marie Marsh, we introduced Monty to Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Which he really enjoyed. And the scene where, spoiler alert, Shaun has to shoot his mother because she's turned into a zombie. Like, I was a little worried that that was going to be very upsetting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it. You were worried that he would shoot you because, you know, video games and kids. Go on.
No, never. I tried to ease the tension by saying, Monty, would you do that for me if I turned into a zombie? Would you shoot me in the head? And he said, no, Mama, I would keep you and I would chain you to a wall and I would feed you brains. It was the sweetest thing that anyone has ever said to me.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Mama?
Yeah. He has this thing where when he wants you to put your arm around him, like in bed, like spooning, he says, be best friends. And that's what that is. Being best friends is having your arm over him. So he's like, Mama, be best friends.
So cute. Wait, first of all, welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I am Ellen Marsh, and that is my darling Tony Award winner, Daisy Egan. Today, for the very first time on Grab Bag Clap, we have an audience here in our recording. Tell them about it.
You know, we were FaceTiming earlier today and Ellen kept saying that she had to go, and like a half an hour later we were still talking. She was like, why don't we go live today? And I was like, that's great. We only have 2 hours of notice, but you know, the people who want to will be there. So we did.
Honestly, you either call in sick and you cancel your plans and you change your plans, or you're a dick. Do you want to be here or don't you want to be here? It's really simple.
Right.
Do you say, I have explosive diarrhea, right, and go sit in the bathroom stall with your earbuds on? Or are you a horrible person?
Right. It's not hard.
This is honestly one of my favorite things that Rabia and I do for our top tier, which is called the Star Witnesses. Your top tier is called Backstage Tour.
It's not the top tier, although they're the top tier of my heart. They're called Behind the Scenes.
It's really fun because whenever we don't know something and it comes up in conversation, because you know, Rabia and I just talk and we never know where the conversation is going to lead. Actually, today, our conversation with Lisa Yamada, we're talking about the Kobe cannibal. Do you know that case?
No, that just came up on a podcast. Oh, it must have been you.
Mine,
guys.
Daisy. It's called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. That's where it came up.
In my defense, I didn't have my glasses on and all I could see was, like, I thought it was about Kobe Bryant and then I saw cannibal.
Okay. You know what? All to say, whenever something comes up and we don't know, our star witnesses are like, they're Googling for us. But
oh, that's so
no
great.
Googling needed today because we're just talking about Love is Blind. Speaking about funny kids stories, I did want to tell you this before we move on. Lola, yesterday I went into her room at like 11:30 and I said, honey, you really should be like getting ready for bed. You know, you should be wrapping up. And she went, Mom, I'm 14. I need to be responsible for managing my time and when I need to put myself to bed and when I need to wake up. When I go to college, you're not going to be here to do this for me. And I literally looked her dead in the face and I was like, we're not going to college together? She thinks I'm kidding. Where are we moving? What college campus are we going to? I can work from anywhere. Where are we going? But she didn't find the humor in that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being the... Wait, how old is she?
14 and a half. Can you please emphasize the half?
Yeah, I was already smoking cigarettes. I was already...
You know what? You've done this to me before. I don't. No. You've already told me what you were doing at 14 and I don't approve.
Okay.
You were a New York kid.
I was. I mean, Lola's New York adjacent.
Let's get to the task at hand. And the task at hand is covering Love is Blind, Season 1, Episode 8. What is it called? Something about saying I do. Confessions of saying I do.
I don't look at the title.
We are 17 days until the wedding. And last we left, Lauren's father was grilling Cameron like a fucking 4th of July hot dog. He was still in the thinker pose. I am convinced that man hasn't left that pose. I think he's still there.
It's called Countdown to I Do. See, I did it.
Look at you.
Yeah, he's right where we left him in his music studio.
Unclear where we are, but it's uncomfortable for him and Cameron and me.
It is very. So Bill, I've decided, is the Jessica of this family. He is just looking for a problem. Whatever problem he can find, he's going to find it. The first thing he says is, so you're not going to ask for my blessing in all of this?
Poor Cameron goes into, he's like, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I mean, like, I would have asked for your blessing before, but Netflix had me sign an NDA and I would have sent you a carrier pigeon, but like, I didn't have cell service and the circumstances by which I would like to marry your daughter.
And I've already put it in her. He would have asked her ahead of time. And then Lauren straight up abandons them. She's like, okay, bye.
Lauren pieces out. I don't know these old family traditions. Is it just supposed to be dudes? I'm not judging. I'm just shocked. Lauren's like, okay, well, you guys have fun. Be nice, daddy. Be nice.
I know, it's not.
This man has already ridden his ass so hard.
And God bless Cameron. He is steady as a goddamn rock. You cannot move that man. Bill right away brings up race. He asks if Cameron has ever been the only white person in a room full of black people, and Cameron says, of course, which it's not of course. I think most white men have not been the only white man in a room full of black people. Like, that's not a given.
I think it depends on where you grew up.
Well, certainly not in Maine.
But he has, because he doesn't know that he had a 5-year relationship with a black woman, and then Lauren's dad says, now I don't want to scare you. I was like, sir, we are so far past that. I am watching this 3 years later on my couch and I am terrified.
Yeah, I have literally just shit my pants all over the couch. This is horrifying.
Can someone please DoorDash Cameron some edibles? Now, today. He is so scary. Papa Bill is basically like, let's cut to the chase. You are white. She is black.
Did you ever see that sketch with SNL? I can't remember who the actors were, but they were playing, it was back in the 80s, and they were playing Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder doing a duet together. And the guy playing Frank Sinatra goes, you are black and I am white. You are blind as a bat and I have sight.
I am dark and you are light.
You are blind as a bat and I have sight. Side by side.
So then Bill says, ultimately, it's her decision. And I'm like, sir, that is not what you said at the beginning of this conversation. What you said, sir, was, if I don't agree with this, it's not happening.
Papa Bill says, after he's like, I mean, it's her decision. He says, I won't judge you except for how you treat her. We've said this before. I get this. Papa Bill is from a different generation. Our parents lived in a time where interracial marriage was illegal. It was illegal up until June of 67. It was Loving versus Virginia. They were going to be sentenced to 1 year in prison. All of our parents lived through that. Not to mention, white people have mistreated black people for hundreds of years. He has every right to be cautious.
That's totally fine.
But he reluctantly gives his blessing.
He does. In confessional, he tells us that Cameron's a little too mellow for his taste.
Same.
He is very mellow, but also, have you met you? Because you're terrifying. He's probably doing everything he can to just not freak
out. Cameron is the man for the job, though. He is so even-keeled. He's so cool. Yes, he has hints of Vanilla Ice in there. Vanilla Ice is endearing to some people of that generation. It's very cute. But did you hear what Papa Bill said at the end of the conversation?
No. I mean, I don't know. What did he say?
He says, she loves you, so I like you. Yeah, don't give him an inch.
Yeah, no, that's about as generous as he's willing to
make him sweat. Make him work for it.
Which I think for him, that is incredibly generous. Lauren's probably like, he said he likes you. Oh my God. Ellen, we have a repeat advertiser.
I am so excited. Mostly I get excited to see our small businesses because I just get online and shop.
Yes.
But Dear Darlington is back. What is Dear Darlington, you might ask? Great question. I would love to tell you. Go ahead, Daisy.
I will tell you. Dear Darlington is a handmade collection of jewelry and original illustrations from a Milwaukee-based artist, Steph Davies. These items are made in small batches. They are so beautiful. Some of them are one of a kind.
Well, listen, we ask for our sponsors to give us copy, but Daisy and I always go and look at the work ahead of time. And I just popped on and Steph is being so humble because she puts in her copy. She's creating original illustrative works and hand-painted jewelry in small batches, right? I go to her website and she has all of those things. But you all, this is what I need to highlight. She has these custom pet illustrations. It's custom ink and acrylic on a wood panel. And I gotta tell you, I love personalized gifts. I say it all the time. Take a look at these illustrations because they are so precious. They're so beautiful. I don't know how she colors in lines like that. I have no idea.
Patience.
I mean, truly. I love things that have a personal touch. So at the very least, go to her website at deardarlington.com and you will see what I'm squawking about.
Also, she's got a lot of brick and mortar locations and all of the stores are listed on the website. So if you feel like visiting and seeing these things in person, check out the website for all of the brick and mortar locations.
And as if all of that isn't enough, this small business is giving you 35% off anything in the jewelry collection. 35.
That's a lot.
Use code GRABBAG and go take a look. Also, please support all our small businesses on Instagram. The easiest way to help anybody out who has a small business or who is a content creator is follow and like their stuff. It's free and it really does help them boost their sales and boost them in the algorithm. So take a look at Dear Darlington on their website and on Instagram.
Get yourself some gorgeous custom-made jewelry or artwork. It's so beautiful.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now we're 14 days till the wedding. We're doing my favorite thing, which is watching people pick out clothes. Honestly, if there's one thing that I hate more than shopping, it's watching other people shop.
For your first wedding, did you have a wedding dress?
I did. It was beautiful.
And did you do the whole pomp and circumstance and try on? And
We went to one tiny little shop in Albany and I tried on, I don't even remember. And then I found the one that I liked and Bob's your uncle.
Do you remember how many wedding dresses I tried on, Daisy? I have shared it on this podcast.
Yeah, zero. You bought one. You went to Nordstrom Rack. Not Nordstrom Rack. You went to regular.
Well, that is fair because normally I would go to Nordstrom Rack, but I actually did pay full price for my wedding dress. God, that would have been so amazing if I got my wedding dress on sale. That would be so on brand.
Yeah.
But if you were to go wedding dress shopping again, would you take me with you?
Sure. Would you want to come wedding dress shopping with me? Also, I would never be buying a wedding
dress. Okay, couple things. You know I hate that word. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. You don't like that word. I have that noted later in the episode. I would have to make a couple phone calls, but like there's no reason that not a few people can be there, right?
Who would you call?
I mean, just like hypothetically, like maybe Jordan.
I don't even think Jordan would want to go with you. That's the difference. Call her and ask her if she would go with you. Because I am a wing woman. I was born a wing woman.
I don't even know where FaceTime is on my
phone. You are such a meemaw.
I'm a trash person.
She's not even answering your calls. I'm sitting here.
Well, that's fair.
Wow, there's your answer. Great. Hopefully she'll call back and we'll get more clarity. Even though Jordan wouldn't be with you, do you know who is here with us? I will answer you. That is, of course, Nick Lachey. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Jesus.
They take time to basically explain the show. Everything we've already watched, they just do a recap. Guys, we got it. They are justifying those paychecks.
Yeah, Nick shows up to the men's and Vanessa shows up to the women's and they're explaining how this is the most important thing that will ever happen in the history of time. There's a motorcycle in the middle of the suit store because, man, you know.
That's what men do. They ride motorcycles, they make bad decisions, and they think with their dicks.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a suit shop with suits with all the guys, but Nick Lachey still feels the need to say,
today, you guys can choose a suit to wear at your wedding on your wedding day.
Oh, is that why we're here? Aw, man. I thought we were just playing cornhole.
Now I feel bad for calling our show Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, because he's not okay. He's just a fucking weirdo. Of course they're going to choose a suit in a suit shop, you potato.
You absolute fucking gel-headed potato. We go through the dudes and who they brought. Damien brought a friend who's basically a carbon copy of him. Redheads stick together. His friend says, you know, it makes sense. Damien has always been the risk taker, and Damien is always on to the next thing, which maybe don't say that about a wedding, but Damien's like, well, not this time, bro.
And Mark brings his best friend Brad and he's like, listen, I'm older, I know more, because obviously age means wisdom. And he wastes no time saying yet again that he thinks that Mark is too young. I appreciate your honesty, my dude, but maybe not the time and the plague.
Not the time and the place. This guy, also, I think his name is Bardio, not Brad.
Right. That's what his name said, but I swore that he introduced him as Brad. But honestly, I've been experimenting with hallucinogenics, so.
Sure. Yeah, he's Mark's little pocket buddy. He's concerned about the age thing, and people need to fucking relax, and Mark needs better friends.
Then Mark does his little confessional, and he says he's excited approximately 43 to 47 times. At this rate, Mark is so deep in denial. He's in the cult. He is wearing the sash. He's got multiple colored sashes. Yes, I don't think his friend really needs to say this right now. He's also already said it. More on that later.
Is that his shitty roommate? I couldn't remember, honestly.
We've seen him before. Bradio.
Bradio. Then I guess he must have been the shitty roommate who like threw him under the bus when Jessica came. Yeah, Mark's picker's broken. So Barnett's friend also has some concerns. That's literally all I wrote.
I'm concerned that Barnett doesn't know what a shoehorn is.
Oh my God, buddy.
We don't use them. I feel like there was a bigger time in the world where shoehorns really had their heyday, and that I will understand. I feel like we've evolved with the squishiness of leather and sorts, but who's like, what is this? Does anyone know? Barnett.
It's like putting in his tongue, like,
he does not know what a shoehorn means. Wait, did you see when Barnett and his bestie were talking, the fucking tailor in the back watching them and just reading them for filth with his eyes?
No, I have to go back and look at that.
That's all I could see. He does say, you know, his friend has concerns. Is this a real thing? And he says, well, I don't really know how to explain it, which we've heard a million times because no one knows how to explain Love is Blind.
No one knows how to explain Love is Blind. And also Barnett is an idiot and can't explain anything to begin with. So he's got a double handicap
here. And then he says,
I've never been with anybody that's so easy.
Listen, we do not slut shame on this podcast. I'm all about whatever you want to do sexually. JK, this is the rest of the sentence.
To be with, you know.
To be with. Whatever. I'm easy. We were having this big conversation. I have another podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case.
No, never heard of it.
I'll send you a link. And we were talking about this Facebook group that I'm obsessed with called Are We Dating the Same Guy? Do you know that?
Oh,
it's basically a girl code Facebook page. But one of the biggest things that women fight about are having sex on the first date. It's like the only thing that these women fight about. Like, no, he won't respect you. You've got to play the long game. Meanwhile, I asked everyone on the chat and they're like, married 22 years, totally fucked my husband on the first night.
Yeah, do whatever you fucking want. Everybody just...
Do whatever you fucking
keep
want.
Keep your own side of the street clean. So Mark is trying on the ugliest brown fucking suit jacket I think I've ever seen in my life. Bardio Bradio is really driving home that he does not think this is a good idea. And then he tells Mark, when I was your age, I wasn't looking for an emotional connection. I was working and going to school and looking for a fun time. Okay.
Was that a year and a half ago?
Was that last week because you are a child?
It's like when you were little and you would say that to your friends. You're like, well, I'm older than you. My birthday is in March and your birthday is in June. It's the weirdest flex.
But like, okay. So Mark is in a different place than you are. Like, he went on a show to find a wife. So y'all are not in the same place. That's okay.
He was like, I've never put so much thought into my clothes. And his best friend was like, here's my chance. He's like, I don't think you've put much thought into any of this. Zing!
Yeah, good job, guy.
I get you're trying to be honest with your friend, but he's being a bit harsh. And then Mark says to the camera, first of all, he keeps talking about their emotional connection. I actually think we're entering psychotic behavior now.
Yeah.
I was giving him the benefit of my doubts for a very long time. I kind of viewed him as a victim. Either you are so naive that you deserve to get hurt, not because people deserve to get hurt, but like you have to learn a lesson.
You have to learn. You have to learn at some point.
Or he is purposefully turning a blind eye for some other reason that we haven't found out yet. Either way, today it has taken me 7 episodes. I no longer feel bad for Mark.
You know what? I had the same exact feeling in this episode. I was like, you know what? The two of them, it's like watching somebody dig their own hole, like in it. You're like, why are you doing that?
By the way, just going back, Jen says in the chat, I definitely fucked my husband on the first date. He bought me a $3 bottle of wine. What was I supposed to do?
Honestly.
But then in that confessional, what do you think about that?
Mark tells us they've had their emotional connection this whole time. Their emotional connection's been strong. It's been there since the beginning. And finally, they've had a physical connection.
Okay, here's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they actually did it? Or do you think finally maybe they were just like naked a little?
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean by physical connection? Do you mean that like you were naked in bed together? Did you put your chorizo in her mashed potato?
Yeah. Did the hot dog go all the way into the bun?
I said maybe they played Twister. We don't know what he means by this. If he's being honest, he says it was the most amazing experience of his life. Okay.
Did you dick her down, sir?
And also, don't you think that we would have, as the audience, don't you think we would have seen? I mean, I suppose they didn't have the cameras in the bedrooms all the time, so.
We fixed that now, haven't we?
We sure did. So then we move over to the women. To be honest, it goes back and forth in this episode, but for the sake of your mental health, listener, we're doing it this way. So Vanessa, you know, she's telling them again how important this is. This is the dress that you are going to cure cancer
in.
To
be buried in. Wait, what?
Wait, what?
What? What did you say? I said that it was the dress that they were going to be
buried. They're going to cure cancer in.
Wait, what?
Oh, I thought it was.
Okay.
Oh. They're not curing cancer?
I thought they were going to get buried in that dress because she said it was the most important dress.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry.
Weird. So we see Mama Pamela, who is obviously very nervous. Vanessa's face, when people are talking in the scene, she's like, aha, I am listening to you. We are having a human conversation. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I am laughing at your joke.
When she laughs like it's the funniest joke she's ever heard. She coils back. Flips her. I was like, ma'am.
Ma'am.
Stop.
Yeah, Lauren's like, mom, just drink your champagne. And Vanessa's like,
I was like, is everyone okay in the Lachey household?
No,
don't answer that.
Okay.
Lauren comes out in a very beautiful dress. Everyone loves it. It's sheer in the back. It's really pretty. I got to tell you something. I love most wedding dresses. I'll see someone's wedding dress. I'm like, that's beautiful. There's so many beautiful weddings. I don't know what we're looking at. I don't know what you're looking for. I thought Lauren's first dress was really pretty. Gigi comes out with a cap sleeve number and a train.
Everyone, with the exception of Jessica, their first dress, I thought was gorgeous. gorgeous. I was like, why would you move on from that?
Amber comes out in her first dress and all I can see are boobs.
Yeah, of course, because she's Amber.
It was just boob.
Yeah. Lauren tells us that every little girl has a fantasy of going to pick out her wedding dress.
No.
No.
And I am a girly girl. I don't like that term, but I am a girly girl.
Yeah.
Not my jam. I love dressing up. I never cared.
No, I don't think it crossed my mind one time until it was time to go get a dress.
Maybe that's why I have a graveyard full of failed relationships. I'm going to write that down for therapy next week.
Interesting. I said they try on dresses. Okay, they all look nice.
Kelly comes out and they're like, ooh, you look so pretty. You look so gorgeous. Oh my God, do you like it? She goes, no. Maybe a simple, like, I don't know, it's not my style. She's sitting waiting for everyone to clamor. And she goes, no. Like, wow, you got me. I did not see that coming.
I feel like we're learning more about Kelly as this goes on. Like, she's got more layers than we knew.
Someone in the chat just wrote Kelly who.
Yeah, exactly. Jessica comes out looking like, I don't even know what that dress was. It just was like a shapeless fucking tulle. She looked like a little girl going to a communion. Like, it just was hideous. So Gigi comes out in her second dress. I thought her first dress was way better, but she puts the second dress on. I thought she said, I believe in science. And I was like, there's nothing to believe in. It just is. I think she said signs.
I believe in science.
She put the dress on and now she's ready to get married. Now she's ready to be in a marriage because of that dress.
That's how it works. It's kind of like when you're doing a show and you have your character and then you put on the costume and you're like, oh, this makes me feel more like the character.
And there's also a big difference between being ready to have a wedding and being ready to be married. She's ready to have a wedding. She's ready to be standing up on the altar and having people. No, you disagree?
No, it's the same thing. If you're ready to have a wedding, you're ready for marriage, Daisy. So.
Interesting. Okay.
I have.
She's ready for people to look at her up on the altar and be like, oh, princess.
And then Kelly comes out again in a dress that is absolutely nothing fancy and spins around and show everyone. Everyone thinks it's beautiful. And remember Sister Ashley that was at the hometown visit who never said
yes.
a word? She didn't say anything. Turns out she could talk.
No, she can't shut up.
She is happy for her sister. So
she's happy for her sister. She's crying quite a bit. She's worried about losing her sister. And Gigi says, well, it's literally being married off. No, that's just, no. I mean, maybe back in the old days when you were like getting rid of your daughter, but that's
when we were property, because it's so different now.
It really is. Poor Gigi. I feel like she's always trying to sound really profound and she's just.
All these dresses are gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Also, the second dress that Amber tries on, say what you will about Amber, her body is banging.
Oh my God.
It really is. She looks good in everything. The dress she tries on, you have to have fake titties to pull that off. There is no way. I would have instant flop sweat.
Oh God, forget it. Yeah.
They are at attention. Listen, when in clothes, there are just certain clothes you can only wear if you have fake Grand Teton.
As you know, I'm watching Friends all the way through, and Phoebe at one point was wearing a shirt. You know, you could see their nipples frequently on that show. It was sort of like they must have just rubbed their tits with ice right before they called action. But in this shirt, you could tell she also was not wearing a bra, and those tits, I mean, they were at attention, and I was
very impressed.
And then, of course, I was Googling, like, did Lisa Kudrow ever have boob implants? And there's
Katie
no answer.
Katie in the chat calls them fitties. That's hilarious. I kind of want to adopt that.
Oh,
now.
Like fake titties? Fitties?
Yeah, fitties.
I like it. Amber is worried that if Barnett says no, that she's not going to be able to handle it. And she says the more real this is getting, the more worried she is. And it's not so much about her own feelings, it's about his. Like, she is worried that he's going to change his mind. And this is, you know, completely reasonable. They barely know each other. And the closer you get to the wedding and the more you plan, the more pieces come together. Yeah, you're going to be like, oh, this is actually happening. Ellen, we have another repeat sponsor, which I think means that our listeners are doing a great job of visiting our sponsors.
which I love. The Wax Wing is back. Now, I know the owner of the Wax Wing, and she has been a supporter for years, so I am so glad we can pay it forward and show you all the amazing work that she does in her online boutique.
Just in time for Christmas, she has these adorable snack ornaments. She's got some bacon ornaments. She's got pickles, cheese. Oh my gosh, I'm getting hungry just looking at these. You could make a whole charcuterie out of these ornaments.
Again, you have to go take a look. Now, this is a boutique that was established in 2012. It's woman-owned. We're talking art for your home, all the way to skincare, fashion, candles, incense. Many of the products are eco-friendly, but it's just one of those places where you can kind of like do all of your shopping in one place.
Another amazing thing about the products at Wax Wing is many of them are eco-friendly, which you know is a huge important thing for me. They have gift sets. For example, happy birthday gift box, including candles. They have so many cute things. You have to check out Wax Wing. It's thewaxwing.com, or you can find them on Instagram at thewaxwing.
And another very generous and steep discount. If you use code GRABBAG, you're going to get 35% off your first order. I honestly think this is banana pants, because when you go to thewaxwing.com, you're going to see how reasonable these prices are for how beautiful and special and unique all of these gifts are.
You could do all of your Christmas shopping right here for everybody on your list right here at thewaxwing.com.
Yes, so please go and take a look. If you have the means to support our small businesses who are helping to support us, please do so. But just remember, a follow on Instagram, and just keep your eye out, because maybe you don't need something today, but, you know, next year you're going to need something for your neighbor, Barbara.
You never know.
And the Wax Wing will be that. You never know. Thank you, Wax Wing, for supporting the work we're doing here at Grab Bag Collab.
Thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So then Jessica is having
the opposite experience. You're going to zoom past Jessica's response to that.
Oh God, Jessica.
Bits were flying off the camera. They were turning the camera to Jessica so far. It was like thingamabobbers and hoosie watchers and dingle hoppers flying. Because the minute she said that, they were like, whoosh.
Jessica's eating it up. She's like, oh, you're worried?
Pack it in, girl. Come on, play the game.
Yeah, especially because of what happens next and how fucking friendly and warm and magnanimous Amber is. But Jessica puts on her second dress and is having the opposite experience that Gigi had. For her, she's like, it's pretty, but it doesn't feel right. And the woman's like, it's pretty, but it doesn't feel right. And she's crying and she's shaking and she's fucking terrified and she is aggressively playing with her hair. She's not even looking at the dress. She's staring at her own face, heaving sighs, and then she comes out in the dress. And I'm like, why?
She's under contract, Daisy. They were like, you will come out. Oh, the dresses!
You will come out!
It's giving Harry trying on the dress in that shop in Sex and the City.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Carrie from the movie Carrie.
Oh, no. Have you watched Sex and the City?
No, we've talked about this.
Oh, great. All right, so that's coming after Real Housewives. I have you booked through 2028. I am so excited. She has like a visceral, physical, chemical reaction to marrying Mark. It's like when you feel something and everybody has their different tells. Your salivary glands go, or your tummy turns, or whatever it is. You should not be crying and shaking and fidgeting and making excuses, no matter how much you don't like shopping, when you're trying on a dress. Like, your body is literally trying to tell you something. It's like when something happens and your gut does backflips. It is your actual body's chemical response to being like, doosh, 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 doosh. Shit is wrong.
Yeah, you're having a literal somatic reaction. She says, I'm suffocating.
That's what she said, yeah.
Also, that dress looks like a tablecloth. I don't care what anybody has to say. And everyone is like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And she's like, this is the forever dress? I'm like, girl, no. Oh my God. She's picking a dress the same way she picked Mark. She's like, well, I guess it's this is
I,
the
I
one.
Guess this is what we're doing.
Oh my God. Poor girl. I mean, poor girl, but also like, get a fucking grip.
It's sad, but also, no. Also, I just want to take a moment to just say, remember Diamond and Carlton?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that seem like so long ago?
I was like, who? What season was that? Oh, right, this season.
You could have done the same thing. You could have just high-fived it out in Mexico. I mean, Carlton didn't high-five as much as punched her in the nose, basically, emotionally. I forgot that was this season. I just wanted to take us back in a little little throwback for you.
Thank you.
Oh, God, I don't even know how I'm going to get through this next section.
All right, so it's 12 days to the wedding.
Jessica decides she has to talk to Barnett again. She has talked to Barnett more times on camera than she has talked to Mark.
She says at the very beginning of this, she says,
the last time I saw you, like, everybody made me drink whiskey, and that's why I was like that.
No, that is not. I mean, if that's what you need to tell yourself.
If you would have asked me 3 weeks ago if you were going to be walking down the aisle with Amber, I would have never guessed. No way.
And then she says,
no offense.
Did you not know, Daisy, that you can say anything you want? And if you add no offense, the person may not and cannot take offense.
Yeah.
That's on him. She said no offense.
Yeah, legally. Actually, to be fair, Barnett handles this incredibly well.
I could dissect this conversation and make an episode on it because it's so many things. When you say the words no offense, you don't mean I don't mean to offend you. You actually mean I'm going to say something and I expect you not to get upset by it. And if you do, you're not allowed. That's on you.
Yeah, because I said no offense. And then right after that, she says,
I honestly can't think of a better match.
Oh, wait, no, that's what I wrote. She does say that later, sort of. But I honestly cannot think of a better match than Amber and Barnett. These two are the male and female version of each other. Of course they would pick each other. They are each other. You mean when you barely knew him and you were hoping that he was going to choke you with his dick, you could not imagine him being with Amber.
And you're right, actually. Barnett does handle this really well because he was like, I felt like the other night, I felt like maybe you sort of regretted me not picking you. She launches into a monologue. She was like, oh my God, wait, you think I want to be with you? No. Are you?
What? I don't even.
No.
What? That's crazy.
That is crazy. You and Amber are perfect. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
No.
Like 1,000% you guys are perfect. Right.
And then she goes, when he says, I feel like maybe you have regrets. And she goes, aww. I have been gaslit so many times in my life, but I don't think I have been part of a collective gaslighting ceremony where she is gaslighting all of us into thinking, first of all, I've never seen a woman need as much closure.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's closure. Like, she wants him to say, I made a mistake. That's all.
And then she doubles down. She's like, oh my God, how could you think I like you? How can he think I like him? Oh my God, I mean, I did tell my fiance that I wanted to write him like an unlimited Metro card for the subway, but like, I don't. Why would that is? I am. How could you get that idea?
Oh my God. This woman is so permanently out to fucking lunch.
And she was like, I mean, yeah, I totally think you're hot, but like, I don't want to be like, I do not. Like, no. And then she blames the wine.
Mm-hmm. She tells us in confessional that she is mortified that he would think that and that Amber would think that. And she says that it seems like a really good situation, she tells him. And he tells her that she's a good faker.
Yeah. I actually didn't understand what he said. I had to rewind that moment. And she's like, no, you guys are perfect. Like, I haven't even thought about you until, like, come to think about it, saying it out loud, I hadn't thought about it until this moment. And I only thought about it because you said it. And then I was like, oh my God, I haven't even thought about this. Like, a single time. I don't even know why I'm here right now.
You know what? It could actually be that she was actually blackout drunk at the party. I think she was definitely blackout blackout drunk when she told Mark that she wanted to ride Barnett's ding-a-ling, because there's a part of me in this scene that was like, maybe she genuinely doesn't remember.
Fair.
Maybe she just genuinely doesn't remember that she was like basically trying to show him her entire vagina at the party.
No, I get that. It doesn't nick from being true.
No, of course. Of course.
She was saying what she was feeling in that moment.
The fact that she's like, what? I'm so surprised. It's like, so you don't remember saying all
right.
of these.
Then she gaslights us. She gaslights the audience. And she's like, I mean, I am mortified that they would think that. Babe, we think that because you said that. And we think that because we see your actions. And we think that because, you know those confessionals you've been doing? We hear them. That's what the show is. We've heard them all.
Right. Can we go back, actually, and play the audio from the scene?
Actually looked at a journal entry. I was so excited about Barnett. I did connect with him on such a deep level, and I was very passionate about that connection. I thought, oh, this must be it. I was coming down off of us. There were 48 hours in the day. I thought about you for like 46 of those hours. Like, it was insane. I like was so high on that, and then like, and you said no, I didn't feel the same way. I was coming off of that. Like, I was like, okay, this is what I've always gone after, and it's not worked. And here I am, and this person's liked me since day one. And then I was like, oh, this person's loved me since the beginning. Like, maybe I should just go with that. Like, so how are you feeling about Amber? Is she everything you expected?
Actually, it's more than I expected, so, which is good.
You never struck me as a person that would go for Amber. And it's weird to see it all come together. I'm like, holy shit. Do you feel like you guys are emotionally connected? Like, I know y'all are obviously like physically, and like, what I don't want is like for you to feel some sort of like physical, sexual thing that like, and then you're married and like 2 weeks down the road, you're like, fuck, like, I don't have things in common with this person on an intellectual level. Like, I want to make sure that y'all are there.
And then cut back to her saying she's 1,000% thrilled for them. I think she's also gaslighting herself,
maybe,
to be honest.
But that's what you do in therapy.
She said the only thing she's ever thought is that she is 1,000% happy for them.
She literally starts the conversation and says, 3 weeks ago, I would have never imagined you together. Cut to 35 seconds later, she's like, you guys are perfect for each other. I have never once thought anything other than you guys are perfect.
And Barnett 100% sees through this. And to his credit, he's like, you know what? Maybe it was on me. Maybe I misheard you. Maybe I made assumptions. That's on me. I'm really sorry. Which is actually like the bigger person thing to do.
Truly. Agree.
And she tells us in confessional that now she is,
I am completely done with Barnett. I don't want to interact with him anymore. And that Mark is my rock. And like, honestly, like, I think I've just been scared to be like honest.
I don't remember being this embarrassed the first time through. This will be the first time that I give Barnett the award of the episode.
Yeah.
We need some kind of award because he is respectful. He doesn't embarrass her. He doesn't low blow her. He allows her to have this sort of delusional conversation with whoever the fuck she is talking about.
Yeah.
He says that one faker comment, but I would have been like, producer, can we, do we have that raw footage?
Right.
Do we have the dailies?
He's not even saying it in a mean way. He's like, well, we both know you're not thrilled, but like, okay. I think 99% of the other men on this show, all 5 seasons that there have been, would have turned this into like, you're a crazy bitch, dragged their fiance into it. And I really do think Barnett handled this well. So
I'm not kidding that I could make this a whole amendment episode. Just this interaction. I almost feel bad for her.
Somebody could write a thesis on this.
Well, now we've all shared trauma because she just gaslit the shit out of us. I mean, call us one of those heat things from Costco. What are they called?
Gas lamp?
Porch lamps? Sure.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is 1 mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Now it's 10 days to the wedding. We are booking it through these weeks, and we have our morning montage. It's what do people do in the morning?
What do people look like brushing their teeth? Oh, there it is.
Oh, good. Oh, so it's okay. Not just me. Okay, good. There
it is. I'm going to rewind it. How do you make it? Oh, my God, they're making eggs. That's so cute. It's exactly how I do it.
Okay. Wow. Oh, look, tying their shoes. We join Gigi and Damien, who are gymming together separately, together but separate. She wants to have a serious discussion with him, which of course you do in the public gym at your building, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's the best place to do it.
That's where you do that, yeah. Right.
Whenever you're in public and in front of cameras.
So he sits down and he looks down at his phone and she immediately picks a fight with him. Oh, you're going to look at your phone right now? He says, pausing. Did you notice that? I'm pausing my music. I'm just putting my music on pause. Okay? So he's just pausing his music. And you can tell in this interaction that he's over this shit. He has been, I hate to say this, but he has been fucking henpecked by this woman. He cannot breathe wrong without hearing about it. He's like, you're going to get on me for being on my phone? He's like, I don't think you even realize how much you're on your phone because you're literally always on your phone. And she's like, well, obviously I'm always on my phone because I do it for work. And he's like, you're on Instagram for work? You're on Facebook for work?
She's like, it's my social blogging. That's what we're calling it now.
Okay.
We're calling making like stories and gym selfies. So I am social blogging.
Excuse me. This picture of me standing on the balcony with a glass of rosé is my blog about posing for pictures. And he says, like, I will talk to you and you'll be on your phone so much that I'll have to repeat things over and over and over. And you're just going, what? And Gigi, like, won't hear it. She goes, this is bullshit. And anytime this girl gets called out, she walks away. She goes, Jesus Christ, or bullshit, walks away every time.
Mm-hmm. That's what little kids do when they get in trouble, or what people do when they know they're wrong. We've all done that. I had this person, I live on a kind of like a sleepy street, and I turned right to take Lola to school, and I didn't look to my left the other day. I didn't. It was morning. There's never anyone coming. Someone was there. We didn't hit or anything, and they pulled up next to me. And they went, you didn't look to the side! And I went, I know, I'm so sorry. And they went, yeah, I didn't look. Because I didn't be like, well, you shouldn't have been. What? I was wrong.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't have done that.
But I don't always do that. Sometimes when I know I've been caught and I feel pinned up against a wall, I'm like, well, you should suck. But she's defensive. That's an immature thing to do, is to like defend your wrong behavior. And we've all done it. We all work from our phones. That just means put your phone down when you're talking to me. It's a legitimate concern. I have done it and I've said it to other people.
Yeah. And we will see later on proof of this very thing. Yes. Now we cut to Amber and Barney. They're meeting for a drink. She tells us that she has not been working. She's been focusing on the wedding. And then he tells us that he has no idea what she does all day. He's like, you look like you had a great day.
And he's basically like, I mean, I know she's kind of zipped through Netflix and everything. Now, planning a wedding, sure, you can make that as stressful as you want. But methinks that Netflix handles most of it. I'm sure they have their say.
That's
but this is your cake provider. This is your flower provider. Pick whatever you want. It's as complicated as you want it to be. In terms of weddings, I get that. Now, listen, I never... and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I do not begrudge anyone who wants to stay home with their family. Kurt stays home. It is a fucking hard job. When you are a single woman
with no kids,
with no home, no kids, no animals, you're just a young woman not working.
Yeah. All she has is debt. And she says, like, I want my husband to provide for me and pay off your debt. And then she starts going into how much shit costs and he has to pay for the whole thing. And she says the alterations on the dress alone were $850, which is $400 over budget. It's like, girl, why didn't you? I mean, clearly she's not good at finances, but like, why didn't you check that ahead of time? And then she says, I don't think it's fair for my mom to pay for the wedding with everything that she's already done for me. And she says, I think we should handle it ourselves. And what she means is you should handle it.
I don't know. It's a very confusing thing. If you're not working, if you don't have a career, don't you want to go work at like Banana Republic or something?
Yeah.
Something would be better than nothing, especially when you're in debt. And wanting to be a stay-at-home mom is perfectly legitimate, but I don't think that's on the horizon right now, miss.
Right. You live in a corporate apartment that's being paid for by Netflix. What house are you keeping?
What are you doing?
What home are you making?
Right. And she was like, I have to pick out my bridesmaids' dresses. I was like, okay, that should take an hour.
Also, no, you don't. Just tell them like, hey, pick something in the purple family.
It's very strange. Listen, my life choice is I have always wanted to have a career and be a mom. That is what feminism is my choice. And if someone else chooses it, but you don't have a family. You're not a stay-at-home
yeah,
mom.
No.
You don't even have a pet.
No. And she's clearly going out. And I think this is sort of what he was saying in the beginning when he says, like, you look like you had a great day. Like, she's going out probably getting her nails done and getting her eyelashes done and getting this and getting that. He's paying for it.
It's very awkward. I actually really feel for him in this moment.
Yeah.
Barnett says to the camera, Amber is struggling financially. It's a big Stacey Izzy vibe, but I guess the only difference is Amber kind of came by it honestly. She's like, I'm broke and mama didn't want to work. I hope that's good with you.
Yeah. Like, none of us wake up in the morning and go like, I want to go to work. I mean, sure, some of us like what we do.
So, I'm sorry.
Well, you're lucky in that you get to do what you like to do. But like,
I'm sorry. So, just real quickly, let's not put this, editor, let's not put this in the episode. So you don't like making this podcast with me?
No, that's not.
Because you said, forgive me for
did
like.
Did I tell you how pretty you look today? You look so pretty. Like,
oh my God. Okay, okay, don't describe me. Okay. No, it's just that like we like get paid to do this. So this would be where.
I like that sweatshirt a lot. And also I really like the way you have your office decorated and you look super young and pretty. And
sorry, I'm just like, I'm in a place. I'm calling
the audience is muted though, right?
Mother, can you hold on 1 second? I'm going to mute you 1 second.
Hello.
Hey, Amber, it's Ellen. I'm just in the middle of a recording with Daisy. She's muted and I turned my camera off. She thinks I'm talking to my mom.
Oh, okay.
So
I just left the courthouse.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm a court reporter. It wasn't for me.
Okay, Amber, I just wanted to say that Daisy was just like, we were in a recording and she was like, I mean, nobody wants to like wake up and go to work. And then I was like, we work together and like, I'm always really excited. Do you think she hates me?
Daisy's a little temperamental.
Yeah.
But I don't think she hates you.
So you agree. She's a cunt.
God damn it.
Yeah. No. Okay. No, I thought the same thing.
Hello.
Hey, Amber, are you free?
I was just covering a court hearing.
Okay, but this is important. So you were at court, but this is important.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're making this podcast. I was like, sometimes I don't want to wake up and go to work. And now Ellen wants to cancel the podcast.
Oh, no. Okay. 1 second. I think I have another call.
Hey, sorry. I think your call dropped. I'm still on mute. But like, I just was like, I get so excited to record podcasts. Do you know how many podcasts I have? Like 12 or 13, I think. And do you want to...
a whole stable of podcasts. Oh, you know, I just keep getting...
Do you want to make a podcast with me?
Oh. Now I'm not so sure. Hold on 1 second, please.
Oh my God, she hates me.
Oh my God.
Listen, if Ellen calls you, I doubt she will because like, whatever. But like, if she calls you, will you just be like, Daisy is the backbone of this network. You have to just do what she says. says because she's really... like, important and talented, okay?
I need you to be the backbone of this network. Oh my goodness, another call. Hold on.
Okay, sorry, Amber. Last call, I promise, because I have to go back to work, which apparently Daisy doesn't even like, okay? But I have to go back. Just to summarize, Daisy's a cunt, and we're going to make a podcast together.
I do feel like I should tell you that she talks about scissoring you all the
I knew
time.
It. I knew it. It's because I knew it. She has a crush on me. I knew it.
It's hard to work with people when there's unrequited feelings.
No, I get it. I get it.
I'm sending you a big virtual hug.
I don't want a virtual hug. I want another podcast.
Okay, I can do 5 more. I'm good.
Okay, we're going to do a podcast together. And so tell Daisy, just be like, Ellen quit. And I don't even want to talk to her ever again. Okay, I love you. Bye. Hey, Daisy, that was my mom.
Oh, hey, no, that's, I was what? Also.
You don't, you were not also talking to your mom because your mom died.
No, I was.
And I basically don't have a mom. Oh, no, wait, that was someone
Spectrum.
Else. Okay. Oh, God. All right.
We see Lauren and Cameron, and Cameron is sitting there doing the guest list because he is a good person.
He is so excited to get married.
Yeah, he can't wait. Lauren tells Cameron that she hasn't told many people about the wedding. He's like, so where's your guest list? And she's like, well, to be honest, I haven't told very many people. And he's like, oh, why is that? And she says that she doesn't like having to explain herself and being judged. She tells us in confessional that she is scared, and it's totally valid.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Completely valid.
Cameron is scared of nothing.
Nothing. Zero.
He has no doubts, no reservations, no follow-up questions. He is certain everything is going to be okay. He really just honestly, fucking hell, this guy. Is he AI? He just acknowledges, respects, hears her fears and reservations, assures her that they will be fine, doesn't try and say, oh, don't worry about it. He does this crazy thing that I've read about in books. He just listens and acknowledges her.
Oh, yeah. I've read about that too, but I've never experienced it.
Same.
Yeah, she says now that the invites are going back, there's no turning back, and it's stressful. And I wrote that any other couple on this show, all season, that would have turned into a screaming fight.
Absolutely.
The woman saying, like, now this is getting real and I'm scared. Anybody else, it would have just gotten very bad very fast. And Cameron's just maintaining eye contact, and he's like, I hear you. He's like, I'd love to get to the root of this. And he says, is the fear that we'll end up having an unsuccessful marriage? And she says, no, but I think that is the fear. I mean, I think she basically says that. She's like, I don't want this to not work out.
I think it's on both ends. There are white people that are scared to say, you don't know what people are going to say. Likewise, she has said, I come from a family and a group of people that are very proud of her blackness. She's proud of her black family.
He is so solid. This man, he's just a solid fucking rock. Now we go to Mark and Jessica. He's setting up rose petals, which we all know is Ellen's favorite.
It's also not rose petals. It's just confetti.
No.
It's not rose petals. It's literally circle confetti that look like petals. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like fake rose petals.
Yeah. Sir, it's going to look like a murder scene in 2 seconds. No.
Yeah. And electric candles, because nothing says love more like an electric candle. And he has a whole thing set up for the two of them. He walks her in with a blindfold. She's got this whole like, I'm pretending to really enjoy everything that's happening vibe going on. And she's like, oh, there's a picnic. But why is there one picnic here and one picnic in the bedroom? And he tells her that it's because he wanted it to be back like when they were in the pods.
Or it's like, I know you love talking to me, but you don't so much as like looking at me.
Yeah, I know that when you look at my face, you start to dry heave. So I thought this would be a better way for us to chat.
This would be a better option because we talk so well. And she's like, oh my God, babe, this is so cute. And then they give a kiss on the lips. Do you watch Love After Lockup?
No.
Okay, I have another podcast with Joey Taranto. His name is Joey Taranto. He was on Broadway. Anyway, it's called I Think Not. And we cover Love After Lockup. And there is this couple, Branwyn and Chaz. And when she kisses him, her mouth, I am dead ass, looks like a cat's asshole. She's like...
Oh, God.
And Jessica gives him the most stiff-lipped. It is not even a kiss. Like, it is so begrudging. Like, you were going for the cheek. That happened with my mailman once. I almost planted a kiss on my mailman. It was like a, you're going what? Anyway, it is uncomfortable for all involved.
Why were you kissing your mailman?
I fucked my mailman, Daisy. No, I'm kidding. Oh. He went left and I went right. And then we tried to, like, correct it.
Yeah, but why were you kissing?
Because he was my mailman for a long time. And he was nice and I was moving. Do people not kiss and hug their mail people? I used to give them water and hot tea and leave them cards.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Do people not? He was my same mailman. I lived in that apartment for like 13 years.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
You've never kissed your mailman on the mouth?
We'll talk about this later.
Someone says in the chat, it's like JP kisses.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Except with JP, it's even worse because it's like over and over right. And over and over and over. So they're sitting in separate rooms and Jessica tells Mark a sad story, but it's also a story that should have come out in like date number two.
That's what I thought too.
In this scenario, she says her parents got married very young. Her mom got pregnant and her dad wanted her mom to have an abortion and she wouldn't. So he left. And I'm like, that's like Amber's dad having died when she was 5. Maybe she did tell Barnett in the pods, but we never heard about it until much later.
He says, I feel so much closer now that you've shared that story. I've had the same thought that led me to believe I thought you guys knew everything about each other.
That's a really important piece of your history. Then she tells him,
you are everything that I've ever wanted in a man, and you embody everything that I've ever wanted.
And he says that he respects her and loves her, and she says,
we are definitely on the same page.
Which is so romantic.
Question.
Yeah.
He says something very interesting. He says, I love you.
Uh-huh.
And she says,
loves ya.
Yeah. That's very different to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, she tells him that she realizes it tonight that they're on the same page. And he says, I love you, babe.
But I love you is different than love you uh-huh. is very yeah. different than love ya.
Loves ya.
Love ya is the love equivalent of K. Kay?
Oh, right. Instead of okay. Yeah. But to say loves ya, loves ya.
I say I love you to everyone. Longtime listeners know I said it to my fucking CVS lady.
Well, you clearly said it to the mailman.
He was a lovely mailman. Loves ya?
Not good.
That's like buddy, old pal, old chum. Loves ya, kid. It is such a sign. You have to realize these signs that we put out there. I love you is so different.
Yeah. And then Mark, once again, in confessional, he tells us this night has really been a success.
I'm sort of done with you, Mark. I'm yeah. sorry it didn't work out. I know it's not going to, and I'm still sorry about it. To wrap up this shit show, Giannina and Damien are out to dinner, and they randomly zoom in on this chandelier that is covered in dust.
Oh, I didn't see that. Gross.
Does anyone look at this B-roll but me? Or are they doing it to me on purpose?
They are.
It's like this chandelier. Has anyone ever taken a rag to that thing? And I am not the cleanest, neatest, tidiest person. I go in phases, but I'm not putting my shit on Netflix.
No.
I need a new job. I need to be the continuity coordinator of all shows moving forward.
Oh my God, you'd be so good at that job. You would be so good at that job.
There is something wrong with my brains. I was like, well, now I have to go for a walk because I'm so mad at that guy.
Well, he tells us in confessional under the dusty chandelier that she has been testing him and that emotionally she is not the same as she was in the pods and that she's basically just picking fights with him over every fucking thing.
No shit. We noticed, bitch.
We've been here. He's telling her his concerns about how she's always angry at him and that something is definitely different. And what does she do? This bitch picks up her cell phone. First of all, it's on the table. It shouldn't be on the table. It is on the table. I don't care what your job is. You're on a date with your husband, or your fiance, whatever the fuck. Put your fucking phone on silent in your bag.
Absolutely. If I am seen with my phone, I started this habit so long ago, it will be face down.
Well, her phone is face down, but she goes to pick it up. But they also just had this fight where he said, you are always on your phone, always on your phone. And she has the fucking gall
mm-hmm.
while he's trying to have this serious conversation conversation with her to even touch her phone. So then he brings it up again that he hasn't posted much on social media, which is like, that's not the point. Like, the point is, like, she's always on the phone. That's the point.
Also, it bothers him. It's fair to say when something bothers you, and it's fair to say, I'll work on that. But she gave him pushback. It is a very fair thing to ask somebody that you just say, this just bothers me.
We're having a conversation, can you do me a favor? And unless it's an emergency, put your phone away. Don't look at your phone.
To the same point, you don't have kids at home. You don't have a babysitter at your house. It's just you and him. What are you doing?
You're not a fucking neurosurgeon. It's not like you're on call to go save someone's life. She goes to pick it up again and stops herself. And you can tell that all she is thinking about is what's on my phone, what's on my phone. She's like physically moving, like she's uncomfortable that she can't touch her phone.
Yeah.
He says that if things keep going like this, you're going to lose me. And I don't think he doesn't realize that that's not a threat.
I really respect him in this moment. He's like, I know love isn't easy, but you're not even trying to make this easy. Yeah. He is very honest here. He says that you're not the person I fell in love with. And they fight a lot. They are such opposites.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you. Do you think what Paula Abdul said is true?
You know, I think if you are a pop singer and a cartoon cat, then yeah, like anything goes at that point. Who cares who makes the bed and who steals the covers?
Right.
And sure, I think sometimes, sure, like James Carville is a flaming Democrat and his wife is like a staunch Republican. I don't know how they make it work, but they do. But you have to also work at it. Yes, it can work. You can be opposites and it can work. Then you have to work. You have to work anyway. And she is just cannot.
Yeah. On my first watch, I remember her just being a bitch. And I really think he talks a lot of sense when he talks. Then they talk about politics, which I also don't remember.
Oof.
How their political views are different. I'm feeling I know exactly where they stand. And she's like, well, my political views will never change. She's like, do you know how poor my family is in Venezuela? I send them supplies. I send them care packages every month. I'm calling bullshit on that.
Yeah, same.
I think you said maybe you did that one time. And he's like, oh, wow, I didn't know you did that. That's very sweet. I'm like, that's because she didn't do that. That is absolutely ridiculous. And she doesn't.
And he says, like, if I knew that, I would contribute. Like, I would help you with that. I would make that a priority. He also says he doesn't like it when she says GD. Goddamn.
Right.
And then she looks like a tiny little girl. And she says, when he says that he wants to make her family a priority, she goes,
see, that's why I fell in love with you.
Someone wrote in the chat, Ellen's about to call Jeannie and his family and send them a care package. I just want to be like, so how many do you get a year? One at Christmas time. That's what I thought. I send them one every month. Big news coming at you from the most boring couple ever to grace your reality TV screen.
Honestly, this is the first time that we've seen either of these people since they were shopping for wedding clothes. What's his face and who's her butt are canoodling in bed. And then we find out that they have not had sex yet.
I knew they didn't have sex in Mexico, but I did not know that he had not parked his beef bus in her depot yet. How come we haven't talked about that? Did I black out and they talked about that?
No, I think it's because this is the world's most boring couple and there's no fucking footage. And then the way she talks about it with him is, I thought it was a little confusing, but I think what she was trying to say is, like, in the past, I've jumped into sex too quickly without an emotional connection, and then he hasn't been able to give me an orgasm, which she takes on as her own fault. I feel like she's like, I have trouble, and I'm like, girl, that's not on you.
Absolutely.
But she feels like if you have a solid emotional connection, then you are better able to be like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, which is completely fair. But then what's his name tells us in confessional, I will do that. I will make her blow like the fucking Old Faithful.
I'll make a river run through it, baby. Let's go. But she said, I don't want to jump into sex too early. Too early? You guys have been on vacation and living together. Too early is when you go and give him a reach around at the pool hall. This isn't too early. Listen, if you don't want to have sex due to some religious situation or something, you're not holding your fear of not orgasming, because practice makes perfect. He has to understand what you want, and the more comfortable you get with someone, the more comfortable you are telling them, this is how I like it, or that's how I like it, or I need the Beastie Boys playing in the background, or else I can't come. What? Not me. Anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, I have a good friend from Portland, Maine. Her name is Sharon Bag of Bones.
Mm-hmm.
She has been looking for a carburetor for her Dodge Dart for like 4 years now. Had she known that that car was going to take so long to warm up and fix, she probably would have chosen a different car. If you don't understand that reference, then I feel bad for you. But she said she's been let down physically, but like, give him a chance. Tell him what you like. It is so liberating telling someone what you like.
I agree. I think clearly she has something in her past that is affecting her present ability to be free in the bed. But he's basically like, let me do this.
Do you know what helps you have orgasms?
Orgasms.
When you have one, then your body's like, oh, this.
Let's do that again.
Orgasms beget orgasms. Right. So her reasoning makes me kind of sad, actually.
And again, I do not remember what happens with this couple, but I feel like we'll see. But this is interesting. And that's what I mean. Like, we're learning a lot about her. She's got sort of more layers than we thought. Maybe she's on the ace spectrum. It's possible. It's possible that she's just not into it.
Yeah, but also when you get in your head about like orgasms.
So now we're 7 days out. It's the episode that never ends.
Yeah, it is. Like, I was like, well, we're really reeling through it.
Jesus. So Lauren is going to meet her friend Tiffany. Lauren sits down and tells her she just came from having a root canal. And she's like, that's why I might look the way I do. I'm like, girl, you look better right now than what I do when I've spent hours trying to put myself together.
I love how Netflix is like, we do not stop for root canals. We are rolling and we have a full camera crew. Let's go. Keep it going.
Yeah, she looks incredible. I don't know about the root canal. She's nervous about telling Tiffany. She says Tiffany is a straight shooter. She tells it like it is. I don't know how she's going to take this. And Tiffany's response is like, okay, really? Okay. She's not really telling it like it is so much as just being like, are you sure?
And she kind of buries the lead. She's like, he's handsome. He's smart. She's like, what was it? She was like, handsome, smart.
Yeah, Tiffany's like, huh?
She's like, swipe. Is that our waiter? Swipe. Was that... Can I have some ice?
And then Tiffany says, that's a swerve.
No, she says swirl.
No, Tiffany says swerve. And Lauren hears swirl.
Oh, I thought they were saying swirl. Like, my friend calls their baby a swirl.
No, she's meaning like, that's a swerve from what you've done in the past.
Got it. Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
And Lauren hears swirl. And she's like, yeah, it's a swirl. Then Lauren asks Tiffany if she'll be in the bridal party. And Tiffany gives Ellen's favorite answer. She says, sure, period.
If you want to find the direct path to my fucking fist meeting your throat, say sure to me.
Mm-hmm.
I told you last night Lola's friends were over and ordered pizza. And I said, do you guys want me to order you pizza? And they went, sure. I was like, and now I have to kill children. Sure.
Yeah.
I can't. I literally looked at Lola because I was like, I'm not going to embarrass you. But when they were littler, I'd be like, do you mean yes, please? Now I need to write a parenting book. Okay.
Well, I didn't put an exclamation mark after sure this morning when you said 1 o'clock because I didn't want you to think I was being aggressive.
All right. I said,
hey, Venus, what time do you want to record today? Oh,
what?
No. Amber got a parking ticket because of our shenanigans.
Oh, no. Tell her we'll pay for it.
We have to pay
we'll
that
pay
ticket.
We'll pay for it. Well, that's on you. You shouldn't have said that you hated me. Hi, Venus. You want to record today? Sure. And then she gave me a condescending answer. So
when I was writing out that all caps lock answer, I was like, this is going to make things worse. So then Tiffany asks what the biggest difference is between dating a black guy and a white guy. And Lauren lets us know that, you know,
we knew it.
Cameron does not disappoint in the dick department.
We knew it. Ooh, I was like, I know what that means.
And then Tiffany was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Aside from that. And it's the big difference. And Lauren, for her, it's not about race. She's like, I know I'm all about black girl magic. I'm all about strong black families. For me, I'm scared about making the commitment. That's the only worry for me. It's not about him.
Well, I liked what she said. She's very proud of being black. She's very proud about standing up for black issues. And she said something really interesting. She said, I was scared that I would have to tone down my blackness.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't feel that way around around Cameron. And those are things that you just, I mean, like, we've only walked in the shoes of a white person. Those are things you just can't ignore. And I appreciate her for just kind of saying that and being like, I don't have to tone that part of me down. Fucking someone clone Cameron and just let's get it over with. Just donate him to science. Okay, last couple, I swear. We just swing back to Barnett and Amber. She was like, I was scared that your family wouldn't like me. And he said, I was expecting the worst. And he said, they didn't not like you. Now, she does something that I can catch myself doing so I can't get super angry. But I have a microphone so I can call other people out on their bullshit, even if I've done the bullshit and no one has to be the wiser, because it's wasted energy. She starts asking hypothetical questions.
Yeah.
If your family were to do this, would you do that? Cross that fucking bridge when you come to it, babe. Don't make your life more complicated than it is.
No. You never know how you're going to react to anything until it's happening. So she's worried that she scared them. He says, I don't think you scared them. He says, it's easier to worry about stuff when you don't know what's going to happen. Also, the sky is blue.
Right.
Up is up and down is down, and Trump is a racist. He tells us he's always worried he's going to disappoint his family and that he's always felt that they aren't sure of him and he doesn't know why. And then Amber, instead of saying, oh, wow, tell me more about that, I want to hear about that, then turns it back to, what would have happened if they didn't like me? Would you still marry me if your family wasn't okay with me?
Unnecessary conversations for $300, Alec.
You know what? Listen, she says, if we disagree or if you disagree with me in public, I want to present a united front. And that's totally fine. Like, don't call me out in public in front of other people. Do it at home. That's completely fine. But none of this is necessary. And he looks like he is a little kid whose mom is lecturing him about not doing his homework. He looks scared. He's looking down. He tells us in confessional that his family is important to him and it's important to have a wife who understands that. And we cut back to her with the what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. What if somebody's clashing with me? Are you going to have my back? And he says, I don't know.
Because this is a pointless conversation.
Yeah.
And I do agree. If something comes up and you don't agree, I believe you can definitely not go into it at the canapé party. Mm-hmm. We don't need to talk about this in public. But she says, you have to be on my side no matter what.
No.
That is immature. That is toxic. Yeah. That is absolutely not the fundamental basis for any kind of relationship. I will hear you out. I'm not going to just back you up for no reason.
No.
That's a no for me. I will always defend the ones I love, but when you're wrong, you're wrong. And that's okay. You have to defend me no matter what? No.
No. I think if there's a situation in which his family is ganging up on her or somebody says something that's not appropriate or out of pocket or whatever, yeah, I think you can absolutely expect your partner to be like, hey, let's all take a breather. Let's all calm down and have some water. Let's not talk to each other this way, or don't talk to my wife that way. But it's not about you have to be on my side. You have to have my back. It's not how it works.
And if you think that's what marriage and love is, like, oh, we defend each other to the nth. No, ma'am.
You have to pay all my bills and you have to agree with me 100% all the time.
It's so weird. She's like, by the way, do you think these tits are going to pay for themselves? No, sir. I put them on a MasterCard. And that is where the episode ends.
Finally.
And that's it, because is it the weddings next week?
Oh my God, I hope so.
Oh no. Next week is the bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Oh.
Actually, that'll be pretty fun, I think. Emotions run high as the couples plan for their futures and party like there's no tomorrow.
Great. Someone is going to get drunk. I can't wait. I love pretending like there's no tomorrow because there's not. Until then, Daisy Egan, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me at Daisy Egan on the Instagrams. You can find me, Dear Daisy, every other Friday on Grab Bag Collab. You can also hear my other podcast, Strange and Unexplained with Daisy Egan. Drops every Thursday. I don't know, like that, I guess.
I have many podcasts, and I'm about, you have just as many podcasts as I do. And I'm going to make another one with Amber Hunt, turns out. I would really appreciate it if you would take a little glance at I Think Not and Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. We just covered the Kobe cannibal. It is, but banana pants.
Sounds like Kobe canapé.
It is.
Like when you're at a party and it's like, would you like a Kobe canapé?
You can find me on social media at Ellen Marsh. I do spell my name with a Y. Please send all DMs to my mother. I have no idea why she did that. It has been a nuisance to me ever since. Until then, Grab Bag Collab has a bunch of new shows coming out, so enjoy that.
We already have Rebecca Lavoie's Other People's Problems just came out this week. It is so much fun. It's like a game show meets a snark fest. It's really fun.
I love snark fest. It's basically you and me texting each other all day long, but it's great. Tell your friends about it. For $5, you get ad-free and you get to support a women-run business. Even if they're cunts, they're still women. Until next week, Daisy, I love you so much.
Love you too, Ellen.
And also, hey, Nick Lachey. Shut the fuck up! Love you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.